Hey, welcome to the Rebellion, James Brown.
Welcome, James Brown.
I celebrate your entire collection.
Welcome in, everyone, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have
Watch
you
yourself.
All here. Welcome into the Rebellion. Nice to see all of our viewers here. We got a very busy show for you on this Wednesday. We are going to look at the latest on weather and weather control. President Biden speaking just moments ago saying, no, we're not controlling the weather. We'll show you that. But we are actually controlling the weather, and we're going to show you exactly how that's unfolding. Dane Wigington is going to be joining us from geoengineeringwatch.org to talk all about that. It's really eye-opening. So we're going to go into all of those details here in a moment as we're just waiting for landfall. And the latest threats are that this is going to change the coastline of Florida forever, by the way.
Plus, Kamala Harris on her media tour while also managing the hurricane quite clearly. Is it working for her? We see that she likes beer. She likes Doritos. She's just like us.
She's just like you guys.
Yeah, she likes Raisin Bran. I don't like Raisin Bran.
Cereal, one of the worst things you can possibly eat as a human being.
That has you running to the toilet all the time. So I don't eat that. Maybe you do. But she wants to let us know that she is just like us. We're going to look at her latest media tour. Plus, AI is the new DEI. A new company ran by women wants to tell you how to represent people in ads. They want no white people, no thin people, no straight people, basically, or you get a bad score
no white,
in your
straight,
ads.
Healthy people.
Absolutely not. And they literally show you how a white lady who looks normal, who's a normie, would get a bad score in an ad.
All right.
This is hilarious.
Well, we got a lot of news to get to on this Wednesday, so let's not beat around the bush anymore. But first, I do want to thank all of you guys because we just got our latest numbers today and redacted. Here's how your channel did last month. 35,000 new subscribers, 20 million total views for the past month. So eat that, CNN. And this is just on YouTube, by the way. This doesn't even account for our Rumble audience because they don't send out those types of analytics. But I just want to say thank you to all of you guys. We are winning the information war against legacy media. And, you know, when the legacy media wants to cover a story a certain way and we can see right through this narrative and the propaganda, we try to cover those stories here on this show. So thank you guys so much for being a part of our daily show here Monday through Thursday. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for being a part of our audience. This is a record number for us, and we're just thrilled that we just passed 2.5 million subscribers on YouTube and upwards, getting close to a million subscribers on Rumble now. So thank you guys for joining our free show here. It's a free show. So thank you guys for taking time out of your afternoon for that. President Biden took time out of his busy day because, you know, his busy sleep schedule to try to look presidential all of a sudden. And he just moments ago wanted to tell all of you that no, we are not. The federal government is not controlling the weather. And he slammed any of you who think that that's the case. Watch.
Now the claims are getting even more bizarre. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman of Georgia, is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous. It's got to stop. Moments like this, there are no red or blue states. There's one United States of America, where neighbors are helping neighbors. Volunteers and first responders are risking everything, including their own lives, to help their fellow Americans. State, local, and federal officials are standing side by side. Let me repeat, no one should make the American people question whether their governments will be making sure that this disaster when it strikes, they'll be there.
Yeah.
What? What was that last bit?
No one should make this when the government ends and your share. Did you guys get that?
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
I hope you understand that.
I quite understand.
And by the way, do you think that this guy would be read in on government, you know, geoengineering programs? Like, we got to get Biden on the phone. We got to get his approval for this.
I do not, but he was in politics, you know, just after the Vietnam War when we did, in fact, use cloud seeding to flood enemy trails.
Yes,
so
Operation
the government
Popeye.
In fact, controlled the weather and
has had
that technology for a long time. So what about that?
Just even separating yourself from just the government side of it. I mean, we talk about NGOs on here at the show all the time. Talk about Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, talk about Lockheed Martin. They get to not have things regulated because the government gets to hand things off to all of these organizations that are controlling HAARP or these NEXRAD radar systems and all of this other stuff that we get to sort of step back from, and we can claim plausible deniability, right? Like, hey, yeah, your government is not doing it. Wink, wink, your government. But what about these other non-governmental organizations which are receiving massive grants from the United States government? He's lying. So we're going to sit down with Dane Wigington in just a moment of Geoengineering Watch to talk all about this weather control and all of the new data that he's uncovered about what is happening with Milton. In fact, I mean, specifically, why it suddenly just bounced off of Cancun. We'll talk about that with him in a second, but first.
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at HelloFresh, because this is In the Morris House, how we get through busy weeks with sports schedules and concerts and teacher conferences. Kill me. The only way that we make it a priority to sit down every night and have dinner as a family, which we do, is by having HelloFresh, because these are meals that you can make easily within about a half an hour, and it shows a lot of creativity, actually. These are well-planned out meals, nutritious meals, based on whatever it is your nutritional philosophy is in your house, whether it's keto, high protein, vegan, vegetarian, what have you. You can choose things that you know your family will like and then put it fresh on the table. And it's fantastic, again, for really busy families like ours. They have a ton of options, whatever it is you're craving. So choose meals that fit your family and your lifestyle. You can get 10 free meals if you go to our landing page, because that shows that Redacted referred you. Go to HelloFresh.com/free redacted. Again, get 10 free meals. Really, give it a try. It's a real crowd pleaser, especially in our house. So get 10 free meals by going to HelloFresh.com/free redacted.
Is the United States government manipulating and, even worse, controlling the weather using NEXRAD Doppler radar installations? Sounds like a conspiracy theory until you realize the U.S. government has these installations all over the United States. Watch.
Was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just the result of natural processes and climate patterns, or was it manipulated? The circular blue flashes seen in this video are frequency transmissions from the NEXRAD network of transmitter installations. All available science evidence makes clear that atmospheric frequency transmissions can and do have a repelling effect on air masses, especially if and when the air masses have been seeded with electrically conductive nanoparticles. The brighter the blue flash from a frequency transmission installation, the more pronounced and powerful the repelling effect on any air mass or storm in the vicinity will be. Where there are no blue flashes, there is no transmission, thus no repelling effect, thus no resistance for a migrating storm. Translation: a migrating storm will be hindered from moving toward frequency transmissions and will easily migrate in a direction with no transmissions. So again, I ask, was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just an act of nature, or was it engineered? You decide.
Well, the voice you heard there is Dane Wigington. He is the lead researcher and administrator for the website geoengineeringwatch.org. He's the executive producer of the groundbreaking climate engineering documentary called The Dimming. I encourage all of you to watch it. Dane has devoted the last 20 years of his life to constant research on the issue of covert global climate engineering operations and the effort to expose and halt these criminals. Dane Wigington joins me now. Dane, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clayton. Thank you for your voice in this most dire issue that too few are aware of. And regarding climate engineering, it's not speculation or theory or hypothesis. It's a matter of the historical record, with mountains of documents to back up the fact that these programs have been ongoing for decades.
Ongoing for decades. And I think a lot of Americans are like, this sounds like a conspiracy theory. It's absolutely not. You broke a big story this week that lawmakers who were briefed on these weather weapons concluded that what happened in North Carolina, Hurricane Helene, was engineered by the Department of Defense. Can you elaborate on that?
Geoengineering Watch is communicating with congressmen from the Carolinas, from Connecticut, from Tennessee, and they are all very aware of these programs being ongoing and operational. And I want to delineate here, this, there's a very marked difference between, quote, weather modification, which many people are familiar with, single engine propeller driven airplane with a few flares on the wings. That is not this. With climate engineering, we have, for example, a KC-135 military tanker can distribute 100 tons of toxic material into the skies to seed cloud moisture in a single payload. So they're two very different animals, and the local publicized weather modification operations are simply used as a smokescreen to mask the unimaginably larger climate intervention operations. So, and again, we have, going back decades, congressional documents at geoengineeringwatch.org. One is 800 pages long, outlining the scope and scale of these operations, even going back to the 70s and before, and the intergovernmental cooperation, even between governments with otherwise adversarial relations, is stated as such in this document. The document calls for blanket legal immunity for anyone and everyone involved with these programs. So again, we have film footage of these aircraft at altitude, nozzles visible turning on and off. This is not condensation we see in our skies. All military tankers and all commercial aircraft are outfitted with a high bypass turbofan jet engine, jet powered fan. 90% of the air that moves through that engine is not combusted. So we should see, except under rare circumstances, we should see nothing behind these aircraft. And we're just asking people to investigate the data, connect the dots. This is absolutely ongoing.
So let's talk about, I want to talk about Helene in a minute here, but right now we've got Hurricane Milton bearing down on Florida, and overnight we see this small sort of secondary storm now in front of it, almost like a twin storm about to hit Florida. Then overnight we also saw these massive wildfires breaking out in the Tetons in Wyoming. So, you know, a lot of Americans are so frustrated right now. They're sitting there saying, why would our government do this to us? First of all, let's talk about Milton. Is there any weather modification by the government being used or directing of this storm into Florida from your evidence?
Short answer, yes. And if I could back up to why would our government do this, why wouldn't they do this when, you know, this has been business as usual for decades? If we look at what the Washington Post published all the way back in 1977, that the U.S. military had conducted no less than 239 open-air biological tests on innocent, unknowing U.S. civilians. That's what we know about going back that far. If we look at the nuclear bomb detonations in Nevada, we have peer-reviewed study now to prove that those detonations eventually caused no less than 500,000 downstream deaths from the fallout for U.S. civilians. That's peer-reviewed study. So again, for those that can't imagine that the people who actually control our government, which I would argue is not any elected official, it's those who control the flow of money, this is business as usual. And why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't they use weather as a covert weapon of control? When, if we look all the way back, Clayton, to footage of Lyndon Johnson in 1962, former U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, 1962, on film, on the record, ranting like a lunatic, stating we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, 62 years ago, and quote, he who controls the weather controls the world. So again, this is not speculation. And we have other governments like China openly announcing their massive weather modification operations. And yet if you bring the subject up here in the U.S., suddenly you're marginalized. That needs to change. In regards to Milton, there's no question it's being manipulated. And there's a global network of frequency transmitters that have a repelling effect on the air mass that is heavily seeded with electrically conductive elements. And if you saw the track of Milton, it got hung up a bit on the Yucatan Peninsula. There's a massive transmitter in Cancun, and we recorded the transmissions from that, trying to bump that storm back onto track. And again, once it gets near enough to landfall in the U.S., where the NEXRAD network then becomes the controlling element, we've recorded this again and again and again. Even with hurricanes like Harvey, for example, Clayton, you might remember 7 days in advance, they seemed to know where it was going to go and that it was going to sit there for days. How could they possibly know that unless that's the plan? And we recorded Harvey. We recorded the actual transmissions with Harvey, Ian, Maria, Michael, all these hurricanes and their interaction with the transmitters. This is patented technology. So again, it's not like we're speculating.
No, speculating at all. So these NEXRAD, we showed at the very beginning here what happened with Helene. When you have these NEXRAD frequency transmitters, where are these? Are these on military bases, these installations? What exactly do they look like? And how are they being operated? And I guess by whom? Is it the Department of Defense?
What we know from, for example, congressional documents is there are many agencies involved with the overall operations of these programs, but they're all compartmentalized. So the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. There's certainly central coordination for the NEXRAD network, and that's visible from the manner in which you can see these transmitters energizing. They're clearly completely coordinated. We do have some of the transmitters on bases, but some are not on bases. And it's even with what we think are just new cell towers going up everywhere. We know from those installing those towers that many of those installations have 10 times more power being supplied to them than they need for communications. And we can see their effect on water vapor loops. They are affecting the flow of precipitation. They are absolutely a part of these operations. And Clayton, if you've ever seen the herringbone patterns, the perfectly synchronized or aligned herringbone patterns in the clouds in the sky, have you ever seen that? And sometimes you can see those in perpendicular directions, and that's indicative of overlapping transmissions from different transmitters. You can't have that atmospherically otherwise. And so we have the entire meteorological community, their so-called science community, pretending that there's all these new cloud formations, that all these anomalous phenomena we see in our skies are just something new that nobody ever noticed for 100 years, and they name 18 new clouds going back several years. And I mean, the blatantness with which these programs are ongoing is staggering. And people think, well, everyone would be lining up to talk about this, right? The experts would all be coming out of the shadows to admit to this. What happens to whistleblowers? What happened to Assange? What happened to John Kerikou? The person who blew the whistle on the illegal torture programs, he's the only one that went to jail for it. So no, people aren't going to be lining up. And we have right now, Clayton, we have an illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees, the nation's weathermen. Why in the world would you have an illegal gag order on those agencies forbidding them from discussing any of the agency operations?
Well, and Americans sitting there saying, why would they do this? Why would the government direct this into, now we can talk about Hurricane Helene now, into this section of western North Carolina? And you know, if you follow Occam's razor, the shortest, most direct response makes sense, right? And if it's the Department of Defense directing these weather weapons and they don't want Trump voters to vote for Trump, I mean, maybe that's the direct line here. Why would they do that? Well, would it be to end the wars in Ukraine? Would it be to end the wars in the Middle East? They're going to be put out of business, tens of billions of dollars at stake if Trump becomes president. I mean, is that a leap too far?
No, I don't think it is. I would just simply add that there are other layers as well. So we have Piedmont Lithium in North Carolina that was hemorrhaging hundreds of millions of dollars because of the roadblock of the owners that were not cooperating, did not want that mine to proceed. We have Piedmont Lithium's contracts with the DOD in 2025 that were coming due. So we have the DOD pursuing that lithium. And again, why would we think that this kind of operation wouldn't be conducted by those who actually control the power in Washington? And I again would argue that's those ultimately who print the money. And we have other historical records of this, Clayton. For example, immediately after 9/11, we had General Wesley Clark, the former NATO Supreme Commander, with a list of countries that were to be targeted because of that event, a list that clearly existed before that event ever occurred. Subsequently, every one of those countries underwent a once-in-1,000-year drought. That's statistically impossible without climate intervention. And to back this up, we have the leaders of those countries, in the case of Iran, on the floor of the UN, stating emphatically, NATO is cutting off our precipitation. And they can see with their weather monitoring equipment what's going on upstream. So again, why would we think this isn't going on? We could go back further to Project Popeye in Vietnam in the 60s, where the U.S. military was so successful at the flow of precipitation over that country that by the 70s, there were international treaties forbidding weather warfare. Not that anybody pays any attention to that. So again, for Americans that think that this wouldn't be ongoing or we don't have the technology for this, it's simply ridiculous. We have patents going back for weather modification all the way back to the 1800s. We have about 200 at geoengineeringwatch.org. 200 plus. It's an extensive list of patents and new ones all the time for everything from hurricane modification to precipitation control to chemical ice nucleation. Clayton, have you've seen how much hail is falling that's the size of baseball and softballs of late?
Yeah.
That's not nature.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. So many people posting on social media saying they've never seen storms like this before. They've never seen, they're filming it continuously for minutes at a time with lightning going off every few seconds. Traditional thunderstorms, you see lightning maybe every few minutes. But for it to be going off It looks like something out of a movie. It looks like something out of a Lord of the Rings trailer or something like that. So we're seeing all sorts of different patterns, and people are saying that they've never seen storms like this. Are they right, no, or are they just conspiracy theorists?
I mean, again, this is a matter of the emperor has no clothes. Again, it's we need to use our sense of reason. It's absolutely occurring. And as far as the excessive lightning now, we have an ionized atmosphere. It's much more electrically conductive. These particulates are electrically conductive. And we're talking about, based on our lab tests, working with the University of Minnesota, hundreds of lab tests over that state, and extrapolating the amount of climate engineering elements in the precipitation and projecting that globally, it appears as if somewhere in the range of 40 to 60 million tons of toxic electrically conductive nanoparticles are being dispersed into our skies. That creates more static buildup, again, more electrical conductivity in the clouds. Now we have the clouds being blasted with microwave transmission. So it's the atmosphere is being treated as a physics lab and a war zone at this point. And on the chemical isonucleating elements, which are used to temporarily and toxically cool down surface temperatures in various regions. In fact, that happened. That's another layer for Helene. We had an anomalously less warm region in that part of the U.S., while the rest of the U.S., for example, where I live in Northern California, it's been 100 degrees plus for about 6 months with no rain. And the no rain part is absolutely a result of climate engineering as well. We can see what they're doing on satellite imagery. It cuts off the precipitation to the west, and that plugs into the wildfire scenario. All these puzzle pieces fit together completely. And on the chemical ice nucleation part, if your listeners search Lake Michigan ice balls, for example, look at the photos of what we don't see on matrix television, 75-pound perfectly spherical ice balls covering the shores of Lake Michigan. And this is happening in the Baltic Sea, the Arctic. That's what happens with a chemically nucleated element. And for the massive hailstones, when you create this ice nucleation process far earlier and builds up far faster, that's why you end up with that. And that's why now insurance companies suddenly are canceling everybody for hail damage, because now it's off the charts, just like the lightning.
Unbelievable. So let's talk about Milton here. And Dane, I'll get you. I want to be respectful of your time. Milton, right? This is about to hit. The weather modification here, you've seen evidence of that, the manipulation using these NEXRAD radar systems off of Cancun to get it back on track. It looked like it was going south to more towards Cancun in that direction. You say that it was pushed back to the north. And just can you talk about that? And then also, what is the goal with Florida? Why Florida, right? I mean, at the end of the day, there's got to be a purpose for this. So why are they targeting Tampa specifically? Is there some reason that you've been able to identify, or is that not in the, that's in the realm of speculation at this point?
At geoengineering.org, we are careful to only state what we can back up with data. So in regard to the agendas and objectives, that's, there are likely many, and behind closed doors, whatever is going on there for the ultimate goal is difficult to state. What we can state with certainty is these operations are real, ongoing, they're patented processes, they're affecting these storms. And Clayton, if we go one step further, we've had for decades patented technologies to suppress these storms, to stop the convection. We have products like Dynamat designed to reduce the convection, and pull the moisture to the surface at minimum. At absolute minimum, if they didn't want these storms to happen, they would not happen. And we're not stating on the spawning of these storms, the oceans are superheating. Nature can certainly spawn these storms, although with atmospheric pressure zone manipulation, which is absolutely ongoing. Again, for decades, this technology has existed. HARP, for example, in Alaska, many of your followers may know what that is. That's an ionosphere heater. It's a weapon of mass destruction. It's not some benign research facility. When you can transmit 3.5 million watts, 3.6 million watts into the electrically charged ionosphere, which causes an electrical chain reaction, superheats that layer of the atmosphere, causing the atmosphere to expand up and down, you can create and manipulate pressure zones on the surface. That in turn can affect storms like Milton or Helene. So they have the ability to make or break these storms however they form, and they have the ability to direct them. And the reason that normally now, Clayton, you've probably heard the term rapid intensification a lot lately with these storms. Right. So what we see now is there an attempt to keep the storms from organizing too much too early, where they're over large bodies of water like the Gulf of Mexico because they're much harder to steer. And perhaps we saw that with Milton, because as you know, Milton spun up much faster and stronger than they initially forecast. And that may have made it harder to steer, why it leaned to the southeast and hung up on the Yucatan Peninsula, and why they had to bump it off because it spun up more than they anticipated, perhaps. So again, there's two layers of the transmission manipulation. There's ionosphere heaters like HARP, of which there's about 100 around the globe. HARP's the biggest and the most powerful. And there's the NEXRAD network that manipulates from the ground level. And these, again, two separate aspects, but all frequency manipulation and all doing what to the atmosphere? How do we know the overall effects? And what we do know from climate engineering, sprayed dispersals in our sky. And again, these are aerosols. This is not condensation. Encourage people to look at the videos we have at geoengineeringwatch.org, up close, taken at altitude, nozzles visible, turning dispersions on and off. End of discussion. This is not condensation. So those particles have a oxidizing effect in the ozone layer, which is absolutely imploding. And if the sun feels extremely hot on your skin, on surfaces, when you're in unobstructed light, it's not your imagination. We know we're getting UVC on the surface now. That's a DNA damaging spectrum. And we're getting some indication there may be X-ray. That's the final spectrum of UV radiation, indicating there's a functional collapse of the ozone layer close. It's being systematically denied. And it's not from hairspray cans, Clayton, as we were told going back several decades. That's simply smoke and mirrors. Those elements are harmful. CFCs are harmful, but that's a drop in the bucket compared to what climate engineering is doing. And that one aspect of this issue, if we had no other challenges on planet Earth, the functional collapse of the ozone layer alone is a near-term existential threat, and climate intervention operations are the core causal factor. And we have the whole climate science community admitting that if we geoengineer, and they propose the entire global climate science community is saying, they think we should put jets in the sky to spray light scattering particles. It will turn our skies hazy, dirty, milky white, just like we see. It will destroy the ozone layer, just like is happening. It will disrupt the hydrological cycle, exactly as what's occurring. But then they tell us none of this is actually happening yet. So again, we're living in an asylum at this point, and the ozone layer functional collapse alone is a near-term, and I mean extremely near-term, existential threat. And we're metering that UV, Clayton. We had a former NASA contract engineer working directly for us. He just passed away with state-of-the-art equipment, but we're metering this, and it's not being disclosed by any official agency.
We're under attack. And I think you brought up, I want to get you out of here on this, Dane, which is the wildfires in Wyoming. Everyone's focused on Milton, but then we see massive wildfires breaking out. And you say they're connected.
They're completely connected. So whatever the source of ignition for the firestorms that are now occurring, we know that climate intervention operations are setting the template for these fires to burn with such ferocity. They're cutting off the hydrological cycle to massive swaths of forests, just like what happened in Canada last year. We have these particles, an incendiary dust. A primary element in climate engineering patents is aluminum, which we're all breathing, by the way. These are nanoparticles. They're very bioavailable. They're very bioaccumulative. They're building up in our systems, and we know this because everyone we test, hair, blood, urine, are packed with these metals. So this cutting off of the hydrological cycle, we have toxic rain because aluminum is toxic to all life forms, period. Bioavailable aluminum, toxic to all life forms. And for those, we get this from some in the science community that claim, well, aluminum is a common element in our strata. We should expect it everywhere. Not freeform aluminum. Freeform aluminum does not exist in nature. It must be mined and refined and dispersed in order for it to be there. And that makes it bioavailable and bioaccumulative. So we have soil microbiome dying. You've heard the trees are dying because of beetles, perhaps, in the Western forest, and they blame everything on the beetles. Beetles are a symptom of a sick, dead, dying tree. The toxic rain is killing soil microbiome, killing root systems, which is killing the trees slowly. The UV is killing the trees from the top down. They're studying their stomata, their respiratory ports, so the forests don't smell like forest anymore. You have no smell in the forest because the trees are not breathing, they're not respirating, they're not absorbing carbon, they're not releasing oxygen, they're dying slowly and they're dormant. So we have more lightning. We just discussed that, right? We have more dry lightning now because the particles affect precipitation. So we have more sources of ignition. And all these elements, as part of climate engineering operations, that's what's setting the template for these fires to burn. And to add credence to this, we have peer-reviewed science study. We have an engineering wildfire section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. We have peer-reviewed study actually advocating for the intentional burning of northern latitude forests in order to provide temporary cooling, burning forests as a form of climate engineering to mimic the temporary toxic cooling effect of a volcano.
I mean, this is what Bill Gates has said publicly, that we should burn the forests in order to cool the planet. I mean, this is the madness that we're dealing with right now.
Absolute, total, utter insanity.
Dean, I'll get you out of here. I know I said I would get you out of here a second ago, but I just real quick here before we go, how bad do you think it's going to be with Hurricane Milton in Florida?
There's no way to know with certainty because the storm is being manipulated. They can knock the convection down at the last moment, or they can spin it up further. It's a matter of drafting that storm and eliminating any wind shear at altitude. So again, when they're manipulating upper level wind currents, they have the ability to do this. And below the areas that are baking, and this is part of the wind current and pressure zone manipulation, you see in the west here, Clayton, I mean, we are baking. It's off the charts. And so climate engineering can augment that. And we're not denying other sources of damage to the planet at geoengineeringwatch.org. I want to make that clear. We recognize we've been really poor stewards of the planet, period. There's no way to really deny that. I mean, we're contaminating everything and cutting down forests, and there's a lot of problems that need to be addressed. But that being said, the intentional toxic intervention in the planet's life support systems is pounding the nails into our collective coffins, contaminating every breath we take. So under these high pressure domes, which I described earlier, when you have an ionosphere heater causing this electrical chain reaction in the ionosphere, pushing that air down under a high pressure heat dome, and that's what we're experiencing here in the West, and that can crush the convection in a cyclone as well. So they have so many levers at their disposal, Clayton, and we can, again, speculate about all the various agendas and objectives being carried out. But the fact that these operations are totally and completely out of control, off the rails, this is a headless, heartless, soulless cancer that is, at this point, again, completely out of control. And Clayton, I'm sure you hear people say, well, why would they do this to themselves? We hear it all the time at geoengineeringwatch.org. Why would they, aka those who print the money, do this to themselves? And I would point out how much have they done to themselves already, detonating 2,400 nuclear bombs that contaminated everything and everyone, including, quote, them, those behind these operations. We have Fukushima, triple nuclear meltdown, no technology to fix it, no end in sight. Chernobyl's about to rear its head again because the sarcophagus is disintegrating there. We have 442 nuke plants online right now. We have 60 more under construction. And even in that, even the potential of nuclear cataclysms is connected to the threat of climate engineering, because now that our compromised atmosphere, which we just talked about, the ozone layer disintegrating, if we have a massive CME or coronal mass ejection, which is inevitable at some point, something the size of the Carrington event that happened in the 1800s, that would shut down grids around the globe. Now we have nuclear plants everywhere that can't cool themselves. Now we have 100 Fukushimas or 200. Game over. So from every conceivable direction, climate engineering, again, is the most dire and immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. And even with the nuclear cataclysm part, they're connected.
Dean Wigington has been my guest. You can learn more about all of this at geoengineeringwatch.org. Dean, I know it's been a busy time for you, and certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to the people who are in the path of this manipulated weather event in Florida right now. Dane, thank you so much for joining us.
Clayton, thank you. Thank you for your voice in this all-important battle, team effort. If we can push this issue to light, to the full light of day, expose it to the world, we would cause a shockwave around the world. Doesn't mean our problems are over, but it means we would have taken a quantum leap in the right direction. So thank you so much for your help in that endeavor.
Thank you so Amazing. Much. And I'm just reading the comments here as we were saying our goodbyes, so many people say, thank you so much, Dane. Thank you for all of your hard work, devoting your life to this. Be safe. And then there are people who don't believe it at all. And to them, I will say, just read. I mean, I'm at a point in my life now where I don't get angry when people are ignorant of subjects. I just want you to read. Like, if this sounds like a conspiracy theory or you don't understand, just start going through the documents yourself. Take a few weeks. I won't be mad at you. Go through the documents, read the books, and study. I'm running out of patience for people who won't do the research, won't do the studying. Talk to the whistleblowers that we talk to. Mm-hmm. Talk to the people that have worked in these programs that are coming out now talking about the manipulation of the weather. Talk to those individuals, and then come back to me with your skepticism.
I mean, my jaw hit the floor when he said that there is a ban on any of NOAA's weathermen from talking right now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why do they exist, order. Then? Yeah. Well,
why is the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration have a gag order to not be able to talk about this?
Right. Okay.
Fascinating. Okay. I saw someone else said, Redacted is becoming the National Enquirer. I said, thank you so much. Thank you. Because you know how many stories the National Enquirer has broken? I know it's a backhanded compliment, right? Yeah, we're going to cover the stories that the mainstream media doesn't cover. And if it's uncomfortable for some people to talk about weather manipulation, which has been going on since after World War II, we've detailed it in depth here. Project Cirrus, Operation Popeye. Just look them up yourselves and read some books on it. Just get educated about it if you're still unclear.
And if you find something that disproves what we're saying, let us know and we'll study that too. We're not set in stone that this is the way things are. But when we study something and we see something, we'll present it to you. Either way, we're open.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Bill Gates in a second because this is jaw-dropping. We talked a little bit about it yesterday on yesterday's show, but we now have a lot more information about it. We're going to talk about Bill Gates and his weather patents that he now owns around hurricane manipulation. So we'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about Kamala trying to normalize herself, look like she's the person everyone wants to hang out with and have a beer, hanging out with Stephen Colbert and Howard Stern. We're going to talk about all of that. But first,
we want to remind you that our show is brought to you by American Financing because they are a company that helps people leverage their assets in order to get themselves out of debt. Because this is what wealthy people do, is they take their assets and they leverage it. They don't say, oh, I bought a house. I'm just going to keep all my eggs in this basket and hope for the best. You'll never be wealthy that way. In fact, they help you with their mortgage advisors and teach you this very trick that all wealthy people know, but we are not taught in school. So give them a call at 866-890-8434. They are saving homeowners over $800 a month by taking that bad debt and turning it into low interest, better debt. And you can close on some of these loans in about 10 days and save yourself mortgage payments. So you just give yourself some breathing room in this tough economy. So you can find out more about them. Say, I'm going to get this information and then I'm going to sit down and study. This is a show that's big on studying for yourself. And you can find out more at AmericanFinancing.net/redacted, or again, call the number on your screen, or just visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Well, why? Why are they directing the hurricane directly into Tampa and the Sarasota area specifically? Like, that's the question that stands out to many of us. Many people are wondering why Tampa specifically, though. Let's talk about Bill Gates, the man who wants to control the weather and reshape the way that you live. I mean, down to you not eating meat. He wants to take down forests in order to cool the climate. He wants to block out the sun. I mean, this is literally what he wants to do. He wants to test vaccines, of course, on unexpected individuals. Like, he loves this stuff right now. And this isn't some conspiracy stuff. This is fact. This is exactly what he's been doing. It's happening right now. And it's connected to something much bigger than just hurricanes and climate solutions. So stick with me here on this. Reshaping the way you live through weather manipulation is what Bill Gates wants to do. So let's start with this. Back in 2009, Bill Gates puts his name on a patent for controlling hurricanes. Yes, you can't make this stuff up. On hurricanes, watch.
When you hear the name Bill Gates, you probably think Microsoft founder. But now the billionaire may be known as the Hurricane Tamer. Gates is listed as one of 13 inventors on a patent filed for hurricane prevention methods. Hurricanes gain strength from condensation driven by warm surface water, which leads to greater wind speeds. Gates and his team plan to use a fleet of ships to cool warm surface water by mixing it with colder water from greater depths. They hope this will sap energy from growing storms, leading to weaker, less devastating hurricanes. The patent, which isn't expected to be approved for another 18 months, was submitted by SeaReed LLC, a sub-entity of an intellectual ventures and an invention acquisition and development firm.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong when Bill Gates becomes a hurricane tamer and does it under the auspices of trying to downsize the level of this?
Oh, he also wants to minimize the effects of the sun as well. That's another patent we've talked about. He actually has said that. This is not crazy talk from us.
Have they never watched Frankenstein? Like, if you mess with things that you don't understand. Sometimes the results are not good. And it's like, you can't just test this stuff, you know?
Well, look at Dubai. Right. I mean, a perfect example in recent memory is earlier this spring in Dubai, right? I mean, they control the weather. The UAE is very open and admitting that they have their weather manipulation program on purpose to cloud seed and rain all through the United Arab Emirates. Massive flooding because they did too much of it. You can't control it in the way that you hope. Even going back to the early days of Project Cirrus and the initial attempts to control the weather, General Electric Research Labs got out of the business and they were worried about being sued out of existence because of the devastation that they wrought throughout Georgia by manipulating a hurricane, trying to bring its size down. Instead, they raised it up and pushed it right back into Georgia. I mean, this is well documented. You can look it up if you want to do the research. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, David brought up a really good point, and that's the, like, your lab setting cannot be the Earth. And since you can't control this in a controlled setting, like, that's, you know, I can't test whether or not this like aerosol I have is incredibly toxic to people by just releasing it into a city and seeing what happens. That's not good science.
It's out of control. Yeah. That's a controlled lab environment. But they love testing things on us. I mean, look at what they did with COVID, for crying out loud. Let's use the Earth in order to see how this works out. Let's see what it does to lock down children all over the world. How does that gonna? Oh, now we know. Let's put masks on everyone around the world. Let's see how that turns out. Well, now we know.
It's like Oppenheimer. It's like, hey, we're going to blow this up. We could completely like destroy if these ions like do this, it could destroy all of humanity. But you know what? We're willing to risk it to be in the lead with nuclear weapons.
I love this super chat from John DeLeo. He says, redacted haters wear masks alone in their cars. Yes, you've seen those people. Yes. If you're a redacted hater, you're probably wearing a mask alone in your car. Anyway, so Bill Gates holds a hurricane modification patent, a hurricane patent that can tame a hurricane. And the patent allows for strengthening and steering of the hurricane. You can read the patent yourself. It allows for the strengthening and steering of the hurricane. Bill Gates holds this patent. But ask yourself, why is Bill Gates, a guy who made billions in technology, suddenly interested in controlling natural disasters? It's not like he's a meteorologist or a climate scientist. So what's the real agenda here?
No, he's a thief. He stole shrink wrap software.
Yes, from IBM.
Yes.
So why do you think this is? Why exactly? What is the motivation for someone like Bill Gates to be involved in this? Well, could it have anything to do with this, as we talked about yesterday? The 15-minute city project. As we reported yesterday, Tampa Bay had been selected as a new 15-minute city. Among other cities, Portland, Oregon, Portland, Maine, there's a list of these 15-minute city projects that are unfolding, and Tampa Bay is set to be one of them. And Bill Gates has a massive investment in Tampa Bay's 15-minute city project, which covers 40 acres of waterfront property. Now, if you haven't heard of 15-minute cities, let me explain. The idea is that everything you need, you know, your job, your grocery store, your entertainment, your education should all be within a 15-minute walk. You don't need to drive a car. Your carbon footprint is too much. You will scan your ID walking along, so we will know all about your movements, your carbon footprint. It will reduce climate change. You won't be driving any kind of fossil fuel car. It all sounds so convenient, right? But here's the thing. This isn't about walkable communities at all. It's all about control, as our friend of the show, Whitney Webb, has so eloquently put it here on our show. And this is exactly what the World Economic Forum wants. You can read all about 15-minute cities right on the World Economic Forum's own website. I encourage you all to go to their website and do it. I won't bore you with it right now. But they actively promote it and they actively want it. They are selling us more automated life, of course, but to what end exactly? Could it be what European MP Christine Anderson warned us about? They want more automation, less autonomy for human beings, and therefore more control of our lives. Here she is talking about this recently to the Epoch Times.
Green certificate, the COVID pass, that was a test balloon to get people to having to produce some kind of a QR code, you know, just getting people used to that. Now what they're slamming us with is these 15-minute cities. Make no mistake, it's not about your convenience. It's not that they want you to be able to, you know, have all of these places that you need to get to very close. And it's not about saving the planet either, by the way. The 15-minute cities, they will have to have those before they can lock you down. And that's what we're talking about here. So in Great Britain, some county already passed legislation. They will be able to impose a climate lockdown. That's the next step. That's what we're talking about. So in order to do that, they will have to have these 15-minute cities.
So she's a member of Parliament, Christine Anderson, and a hero, by the way. So Tampa is one of these cities on the list for this 15-minute city concept, and Bill Gates investing massively into this. So he's going to both try to control the hurricanes on the front end, holding patents for on geoengineering, climate control, the strengthening and steering of hurricanes, while also, on the back end, investing in Tampa's 15-minute city project. Like, that's a brilliant investment, right? Invest on the front end, make a lot of money on the front end, then make a lot of money on the back end. Once this part of the waterfront area of Tampa gets destroyed, and hey, maybe there's a giant land grab, just like we saw in Maui with the giant land grab. We get to swoop in and put in all new walkable 15-minute city test beds. And by the way, I totally forgot to even mention this, but Maui, Hawaii specifically, is focused on 15-minute cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, you could go down a conspiracy rabbit hole if you want, but you wipe away complete communities, you have a government land grab, and then you're going to sort of implement these test pilot projects of 15-minute cities. Like, it sounds crazy. Maybe we're nuts. Let us know your thoughts on this and Bill Gates'
ownership
of this.
Well, a couple things. One, that's the plot of the summer blockbuster Twisters. So if you buy it in fiction, you have to buy it in real life, right?
Right.
It's not so far-fetched. Number two, my kids in middle school had a school assembly to promote 15-minute cities. So it's being pushed in education as something, the wave of the future. Why is that, do you think? Why do they need to warm kids up to this idea if capitalism is not actually naturally creating it? Just a thought.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Indoctrination. Trying to get kids to believe that this is the wave of the future.
So my nephew, during this assembly, he leaned over to my son and he's like, I bet your parents have a different view on this. He's like, I can't work this out, but I feel like I'm being fed propaganda. I'm going to have to ask Tia about it. And I was so proud.
Yes. And then our son came home and he was like, yeah, something didn't sit right with us. I'm like, good. Thank you. Thank you for questioning this stuff. Because they try to, you know, couch it as, oh, it's convenience. It's going to help the environment. It's all good for us just to walk everywhere. You don't need a car. It's all about control. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on all of that. We've got more news to get to.
Wait, Philip is trying to say something.
Oh, no, it wasn't that important. I was just going to say Portland being like one of those cities, Portland is also already kind of a 15-minute city where like you have these little neighborhoods that have all the shops and everything and walking distance. It's kind of nice. But it's like, so in that concept, yeah, it seems like a nice thing. Like you would want that. But then it's all of the other baggage that they want to put on there, the actual tracking, the control. It's like, you know, it's taking, that's how they sell it. It's like, this sounds like a really good concept. You know, it'd be like we could have this futuristic Star Trek society as long as you give us your soul.
Right.
And it's just, and they started some of these planned communities like Baldwin Park outside of Orlando, where they have like the center sort of downtown general store vibe with like your movie theater and all of that stuff. You could just stay right here. You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Just stay right here. Oh, if you want to go somewhere, let us know because we're going to scan you. We'll be able to track your carbon footprint. And it's all about locking people down in these environments.
I mean, that's the dystopic world, again, created in fiction, that you can't cross barriers.
Right.
You can't go to this district because you're from this district and that kind of thing. Like, we've seen this play out. We don't want this.
It's programming.
All right. But do you want a drunk presidential candidate? Because the media thinks you do. They think you want them hyped up on common junk food and beer. That's how Kamala Harris is being treated by the public. So we're going to or by the press. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about this new standard for ads that's being judged by AI as to whether or not they're representative or not. And so if you see a white lady in an ad, that ad is going to be downranked. Basically, they want that actress to be out of work. They don't want to see white people at all in any ads. We're going to show you this algorithm that AI is in charge of. It's comical and racist.
But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Hillsdale College, because right now, I mean, I'm really tired of sort of scrolling through shows on TV, finding nothing but sort of the same mind-numbing content. You've probably been there, too. Don't waste precious little time you have with nonsense. Instead, why don't you better yourself? Learn a class. Take a class, for instance, on American citizenship and its decline. What about a class, a free class on the Constitution, about World War II, philosophy, Aristotle, all of these things? You can learn about it with free online courses from our friends at Hillsdale College. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about them. They have 40 different free online courses. in the most important and enduring subjects in the United States. Again, you can learn about the works of C.S. Lewis, the stories of the Book of Genesis, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution, the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, the history of ancient Christian church, with Hillsdale College's online courses, all available for free. That's right, for free. Go check them out right now. Go to hillsdale.edu/redacted to start. It's free. It's easy to get started. I've taken the American citizenship one and the Constitution course, and they're great. They're great. And if you're looking, you know, instead of sitting there on a night just watching garbage like, you know, your legacy media, you know, like MSNBC or CNN or Fox News or any of that stuff, put on Hillsdale College course. Just take a course, an hour class every night for a few nights, and just you'll learn so much. It's great. Hillsdale.edu/redacted. Once again, Hillsdale.edu/redacted.
Well, Stephen Colbert on his Late Show said that Americans want to elect someone that they, quote, could have a beer with. So he offered Vice President Kamala Harris a Miller Lite, and they shared one during the interview on Tuesday.
Why not a Bud Light? I was figuring.
I'm sorry.
Well, he said that that was her choice.
It's Miller High Life. It's not a light.
Sorry. Miller High Life. Okay. Sorry, I mispronounced. Yeah. He did say, I checked with your people and got your preference, and this is what she chose. Obviously, an American brand. They are desperately trying to make her look relatable. You recall we were fed this with Hillary Clinton when a black radio station asked her what she always carries, and she said, hot sauce in my purse, because she felt like that was very culturally relevant to black people. There are a few problems with this. Number one, we're dealing with a major hurricane, so we need sober leaders, not people who want to just fool around. Number two, also, these shows are not filmed at late night, so this is pre-happy hour hours that she's drinking. And number two, people already think that she sounds too boozy during working hours, so this doesn't help. And finally, the American people actually, if Colbert had done his homework, they actually don't want drinkers for leaders. If you look at the last two presidential election winners, both of them were sober. Did you know this, that both Joe Biden and President Trump are sober because both have talked about the destructive effects of alcoholism on their families, and they both made conscious choices to abstain? So the idea, I think, is offensive to the rest of us that we just want to share an addictive substance with our leaders is stupid. Americans actually need leaders who have their wits about them during this time of war and economic destruction, don't you think? In fact, on a recent podcast, this went viral because President Trump talked about his confession of his brother's alcoholism that inspired him to never drink. Watch.
I had a great brother who taught me a lesson, don't drink. Don't drink. And he said, don't smoke. He smoked and he drank. And he was a great guy. He was a handsome, very handsome guy.
Is he older? He was older?
Quite a bit older, yeah. And he had a problem with alcohol and smoke a lot. But, you know, I tell people, no drugs, no drinking, no cigarettes.
Yeah.
I tell that to my kids all the time. I'd say, no drugs, no drinking, no smoke. And
it was tough.
He'd always tell me, he'd say, never. So he was, really old enough that you would look up to somebody, and I'd look up to him anyway.
Did you admire him?
Yeah, I admired a lot, so much about him. He had so much going. He had the look.
What was his name?
Unbelievable personality, like an incredible personality.
What was his name, Donald?
His name was Fred Trump. And he had a problem with alcohol. He got addicted to it.
Now, I like the idea of normalizing non-drinking over people want to elect you because you look beer shareable. But let me know how you think. And is the media doing her any favors by trying to make her look cool when that's not, we don't need cool right now. We need serious leaders. People are dying in the Middle East. Go ahead.
I want to see her on Rogan and smoke a joint.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anything of the sort. I would like to see her be serious on the topics because she can sort of do this. She can talk about her turkey brine recipe. She can have a beer and talk about what she eats and how she goes on the elliptical and things like that. What she can't do is offer an alternative to the Biden-Harris administration. I would like to see that, wouldn't you?
I like what Jeff says in our chat. He says, I've been drinking every day for 30 years and I've never gotten hooked.
Okay. I'm not going to vote for you.
I like that, Jeff. That's a good joke.
Sure. Okay. Also, you know, she was on Howard Stern this week, and this is super rich because he asked her, you know, if she works out. He says she's in good shape because that's kind of his thing, or at least it used to be, just lust over women's bodies. And so he did say, like, you look like you're in good shape, and that was super cringe. Which my kids say I shouldn't say cringe, but I said it. He asked her, you know, if she likes Doritos. She says she really likes Doritos and she once ate a family size bag. Cool. She says she likes Raisin Bran, Special K. So you see that she's like dropping these American culturalisms to make us think that she's just like us. And then he said, which is nice. That's fine. Right. If that works on you, I don't know how hard you are on the issues if you share a love of Special K with the vice president. But he also said he just really doesn't like the humor that Saturday Night Live puts forth about her when Maya Rudolph plays her. And here's how he explains it.
When I met you out in the hall, I said, I'm really nervous because I want this to go well for you. I want it to go well for the country. Even when I watch them on Saturday Night Live with the where they have Maya Rudolph playing you, I hate it. I don't want you being made fun of. There's too much at stake. I believe the entire future of this country right now, I mean, as America, land of the free, home of the brave, I think it's literally on the line.
I agree with you.
Is he delusional? I mean, absolutely delusional that America's liberty is on the line. I don't know if he's been paying attention to the last 3 years of the what's happened in the United States. Our liberties have been removed from us. Were you around during what happened during lockdowns and mandates?
He was very pro-vaccine, pro-lockdown.
I mean, are you kidding me?
He liked that.
You're pro-liberty all of a sudden? What are you talking about? You're not pro-liberty.
He should be like the biggest free speech purist of any of us because he's had this radio show and he's been attacked his whole entire career.
Right.
Right. For doing what he wants to do. They literally... If he understood, I don't know, he's a smart guy. I mean, he went to Boston College, I think. He's a smart guy, very smart guy. So what does he not understand about what the Democrats have become? They are the pro-war party. They are the pro-taking away your liberty party. This is exactly why you have people
he's very pro-Ukraine.
This is exactly why you have people like Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney coming out in support of Kamala Harris.
Right.
Because they are the party of war. They are the party of control. They are the party of communism. I don't understand what he doesn't get about this. I mean, it's right in your face right
now. He's made his platform very pro-feminist. He thinks because the Democrats stand for abortion, he all of a sudden is a feminist, which is so weird. I started my broadcasting career under my maiden name, Natalie Del Conte. He once called me Natalie Del Conte. So that's not a great feminist. Can I say that? I just did.
Guess we'll find out.
Yeah. So,
Can't do it.
Let's see how that goes. Okay, good. Because it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I said it. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't like it, but he apparently is a pro-feminist. Also, he doesn't appreciate political satire. He has had a presidential impersonator on his show at least since the 80s. Just today, I was able to find this presidential impersonator of fake Bill Clinton who made a sex call to a 75-year-old black woman. This is a comedian asking an elderly lady who keeps repeating praise Jesus about what she's wearing. It gets increasingly sexual, but he doesn't like
satire.
An impersonator of a political candidate. Now he just can't take it anymore. He sexualized high school girls who were victims of Columbine. He sexualized the Olsen twins before they turned 18. He's had fake Barack Obamas. He's had fake Hillary Clintons. He's had fake Bill Clintons.
He's like, had Dana Carvey.
Now?
He's had Dana Carvey on his show praising him for his George H.W. Bush impersonation.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, he's had Norm MacDonald on praising his Bob Dole impressions.
Right.
I mean, now he suddenly doesn't
now
like
satire.
Now
he can't take the humor anymore. He's too old for it. He's become an old man who just can't take it. And, you know, I do want to play you this clip. It's fine to change your mind. It's absolutely fine. But he did in 2008 vow never to support Democrats anymore because the FCC is communists. Watch this.
But I got so crazy over this yesterday, so I
called my agent, and my agent, you know, he's a very liberal Democrat kind of guy.
Oh, yes.
I go, that's it.
You have he to goes, quit the Democratic Party?
He goes, what do you mean? I go, you know what, Don? I voted Republican, and I voted Democrat. I have vowed I will never vote for a Democrat again. I don't give a f-.
No matter who they are?
No matter who they are. I don't care if God becomes a Democrat. I said I backed Hillary Clinton. I backed Al Gore. I backed John Kerry. I am done with them. And he goes, what happened? I go, the fact that these Democrats on the FCC are communists. They're for communism. They don't want to see companies. This is gay.
Oh, I see.
Valid point. So what he's saying there, he wouldn't have voted for God as a Democrat. Kamala Harris is above God in his book, he's saying, by that logic, right?
Right, yeah.
And so,
she's Special K.
Yeah, okay. So what's changed? Well, the FCC is still very demonic. We saw that they penalized Elon Musk for what would have been broadband in these hurricane areas. They fast-tracked frequencies to George Soros recently. They're still a problem. They're still communist. I think what changed for him is that he's not regulated by the FCC as much now that he's on Sirius XM satellite radio. And so that's not a problem anymore. So it's very myopic. It's what I want to say, what I want to feel, about, which again, it's fair. You can change your mind and say, this doesn't matter to me anymore. What matters is I want to force everyone to get COVID vaccines and I want to force everyone to support Ukraine. That's what he stands for. And that's what he likes about Kamala Harris.
Or as some people are suggesting, a lot of people in our chat, we've got many tens of thousands of you watching, many of you have said today that he's compromised. And so how is he compromised? Well, he 2 days ago came out on his show, apparently, and confessed at being at some one of Diddy's freak-off parties. So, okay, he's at Diddy's freak-off parties. This is interesting.
What?
Okay, yeah.
I didn't find this angle.
So, yes. So, again, the party that will never release the Epstein client list, the party that will keep the Diddy story quiet, is currently in power, and they will continue to suppress this, right? Because how many of these liberal elites are tied up in this Diddy scandal right now? How high does it actually go? I mean, who knows? I'm not going to say that he was doing anything nefarious or not, but we will find out, I guess. But if you want to support Kamala Harris, then you are supporting the suppression of this information and the censorship in the United States. So basically, supporting Kamala is supporting censorship.
Okay.
And supporting the suppression of this.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So is he compromised? I don't know. But hey, we'll find out.
I mean, he certainly is a shell of the broadcaster that he once was, who had a sense of humor, who spoke for freedom, who was tortured, in fact, by the FCC because he said things he thought he should have been free to say, and they decided he wasn't. So how has this... It's a day and night from his original.
I used to deliver newspapers in Reading, Pennsylvania, and I would listen to 94 WYSP out of Philadelphia, and I would listen to the Howard Stern radio show while I was delivering morning newspapers before school. Mm-hmm. I would listen to Howard Stern. You know, like he was the gold standard for radio, and he was the gold standard for giving a middle finger to the government.
He's the self-proclaimed king of all media,
right? And so you would like look up to the fact that he wouldn't take crap from anybody, and and I just couldn't believe it. And so to hear like this total change in these people, it's just so...
It's authoritarianism that he's somehow come around the table. Who knows why? Is it old age? I don't know. I get more pro-freedom as I get older than less. So I'm not sure.
Must be the New York City bubble that he lives in or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to put words in his mouth. That's for him to do. But anyway, it's a very weird turn of events for him. And let us know your thoughts on that.
All right. We're going to talk about this new DEI ad program that uses AI to tell you whether or not an ad is representative enough because we can't see... for ourselves, I guess. Watch for that coming up. But first.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us about Armra? Because you know all about colostrum. You are the champion of this because when you were pregnant, you. I'm not talking to David, who was pregnant.
David, have you ever produced colostrum? It's the substance that comes before you start nursing.
An accident.
Okay. Right. You're not supposed to do that. A woman's body is supposed to do that. And what it is the first substance that you make before your breast milk really comes in. And it's full of nutrition that your baby needs. And in fact, our friends over at Armra have found that they are able to produce a version of it that is also good for adults because their proprietary cold chain biopotent pasteurization technology, I'm not able to say that again quickly, is able to preserve colostrum's 400 plus bioactive nutrients in the purest, most bioavailable forms. And it ensures a composition that's uniquely optimized for human health, unlike any other product. So Armra is sustainably sourced from grass-fed cows on family-owned dairy farms throughout the U.S., utilizing only overflow colostrum, ensuring that the calves' needs come first, and what we get in the surplus is upcycled. And it's something that is meant to optimize your own health. It can strengthen your immunity and your gut health, improve fitness and metabolism. Also, it can enhance skin and hair radiance. So check it out for yourself. Head on over to tryarmra.com/redacted. You'll get 15% off your first order. Once again, that's tryarmra.com/redacted, because again, our audience receive a special 15% off. So that's tryarmra.com/redacted.
So thanks to all of you guys for subscribing. I wanted to thank you guys once again. I was showed at the beginning of the show, but we just hit a new record. So thank you guys so much for the subscribes and being a part of our show here on a daily basis. We really, really appreciate it.
All right, question. What is offensive about this ad that I'm about to show you? This ad is getting a 30, which is a bad score. That's red, right? So this program is saying that this ad that you're seeing there is not good. Well, why? Why is it only getting a 30 out of 100? It's because
45 if her eyes were blue.
Okay. What this ad is telling us, the reason that it's scoring it so low is because AI ran a program called Representation Index, and this is bad because that woman's white. She is not overweight. She is average age, and she has a cisgender, I'm going to use that word begrudgingly, gender expression. I don't know how AI knows that her gender expression is not good. Who knows? But again, this is according to the Representation Index telling us no one wants to see this. Get her out of here. This woman is not suitable to sell you a car or insurance or medicine or whatever. That model should starve. She should never get work again, according to the Representation Index.
So we need someone that looks like Corinne Jean-Pierre White House press briefing.
Well, even Corinne Jean-Pierre may not get a great score. Let's go to this next ad. This is according to the ad industry's new Representation Index being introduced by a company called Female Quotient. It's supposed to replace DEI initiatives at a time when DEI is becoming a bad word because it's code for racism. According to the founders, this ad, this lady here, would get a 72, which is still red. It's not great. Why? I don't know. Why not 100? Because her teeth are nice and we don't want to see that. She doesn't represent average dental health.
I mean,
is it because she's not signaling that she's LGBT? She's too light for a black lady.
She's too close to being white.
She's white adjacent.
White adjacent.
Yeah. Maybe if she wasn't so close to those white girls.
So they gave her a C-.
Because she was hanging out. Oh, I get it. Yeah, exactly. Because she's hanging out with white people.
Oh, probably. Because she's hugging what maybe an Asian lady. And Asian is white adjacent. And this other lady,
she's kind of like friendly with her.
Possibly Latin.
Yeah. And if it was just her, maybe 100%.
Also, all of them seem not fat. And that's not good. We want to see more fat people. And also her afro seems to be the natural color that it's supposed to be instead of blue or something.
Pink or something.
Yeah, I guess that's why she gets a C- in representation. Ironically, the founder of this association would also probably score below 50%. I'd score her 10 out of 100. She's blonde. She has average body build. She's white. If she's married to a man, she's out of here. She's going to get a 0.
And does she have kids? No way.
Right. But look what she says here in this quote about this new software, that she wants to measure what matters. So by this standard, whiteness matters not at all. And so now why does a program need AI to do this, to tell us whether or not something's representative or not? Can't we see from our own eyes whether or not someone is representing some kind of minority group? I mean, I can tell that. I have eyes. So I don't get why we need the AI bit, but it's clear that the AI is taught the same algorithm as Google's AI program, which thinks that whiteness is bad. I don't need to tell you that this is racism. This is the exact reason why so many companies are ditching the Human Rights Campaign, which is promoting DEI all over the place. The Human Rights Campaign is a far-left organization that judges companies based on their commitment to all manner of leftist policies like transgender ideology, diversity and inclusion, as long as the people included are not white and straight. We've spoken about them before, how they have a grading system for hospitals, and if a hospital refuses sex chains for minors, they get a low grade and they remove their funding. Not surprisingly, HRC is funded by big pharma like Pfizer and the manufacturers of America. Pfizer makes Lupron and other cross-sex hormones. Actually, no. AbbVie makes Lupron, but they are also an HRC backer. Also, coalition members of the HRC include BlackRock, Vanguard, children's hospitals, things like that. So it's no wonder that HRC is out of favor, the Human Rights Commission. They are losing companies that are committing to HRC because it's racist, and people are pointing out how they don't want this stuff in the workplace. But that's not after they had years and years to wreak havoc on American businesses until just this year when brands started falling out. In fact, many brands have been caught pushing the HRC agenda on their employees. And when they were exposed, they have since disavowed the HRC. They include beer maker Molson Coors, Ford, home improvement retailers Lowe's and Home Depot, Jack Daniel's whiskey. When Fox News published a story in August saying that Home Depot was working with the HRC to fund grade school education on pansexuals, Home Depot said, actually, no, this is an old story. We don't work with the HRC anymore. We don't do these DEI initiatives. This was a long time ago, and it was just a bullying initiative. Well, the HRC is pissed about that. They want their power back. Here's how they're campaigning for it. On their own site, they're saying, demand that corporate companies come back to the HRC. I don't think they're going to get that, no matter how much they whine, because companies just don't want to be caught promoting these racist and divisive policies anymore. It's bad business. Now, farm equipment seller Tractor Supply and tractor maker John Deere and motorcycle maker Harley Davidson, we've all seen them commit to stop promoting DEI internally, and they're all saying they will no longer use these as employee guidelines. In fact, what they all faced backlash for implementing the HRC agenda, which included promoting white people over people of color, only working with vendors that were not owned by white people, forcing employees to use preferred pronouns, using company money and company time to promote gay parades, things like that. All of these things are things that John Deere says they won't do anymore because it's stakeholder capitalism. It means that companies have a bigger influence on society than us individuals, and no one should want that. Now, another organization did something similar. It was the World Federation of Advertisers. They were calling out brands for not being progressive enough, and then tried to get them to stop advertising on X and other places where they thought non-progressive ideas could be disseminated. But they got sued by X and Rumble, and in the wake of these lawsuits, they just shut down. All this to say, these big brand progressive and communist agendas are crumbling before our very eyes. We see DEI on the way out. Will an AI version replace that? I don't think that's the case. So why in the world would any company decide to run their ad through an AI diversity meter in order to see if it's diverse or not? And then if the software says, oh, no, that's a normie in there, that's someone whose normal representation, we can't have it, would they throw out an ad? Because that's racist, too. So who knows if this will take place. But this is not 2020. So I think they can get out of here with that. Go ahead, David.
I was just saying, I can imagine clicking the skip button on the Google or YouTube ads and then being like, are you sure? Did you realize how diverse this ad was? Yes, right. I want to skip.
How racist. How racist you are.
You
how
can't
racist
skip an ad.
You are.
Yeah. This person is overweight. I mean, if you look at this criteria, it's hilarious.
Black, it was a black lesbian. It was a black trans woman.
They're being judged on age, which is ageist. So you don't want, I don't know what age is the most diverse age. Body type. So because she's, you know, normal body type, gender expression, skin tone, all of those are incredibly offensive ways to judge a person who are not judging on the content of the character or the content of the ad or the substance of what they're selling. It's just, are they too normal? Don't want to see it. Get that model out of here.
How in the heck are you going to tell gender expression? Like, how, like, that makes zero sense. Like, how would you track
that? I don't know.
That?
Because the entire trans movement is about how you can't tell gender expression and you shouldn't. So I don't know how AI knows that, but we don't. But this is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous story. So look it up for yourself. It was featured in the Wall Street Journal this morning. And I was like, what? What? So let me know if you have the same reaction.
Hagbard 72 on a Rumble chat says Molsons have not abandoned DEI. Just check out their website.
What's
Molson's? Molson Coors. Which, by the way, earlier, you know, it's so funny. Whenever people, back when I used to work on Fox News, it used to bother me because we would do these segments like we're going to do a big, you know, American 4th of July segment. And we're going to, you know, have some beer on the in the set and studio. And they'd have like Coors Light and they'd have all these other like what they called American beers in the studio. And they're not American beers. They used to be. I mean, they're owned by all these foreign companies now, like Molson Coors, you know, a Canadian company headquartered, yes, I think in Illinois, I think. But they still, it's still a Canadian company. By InBev, right, South Africa.
I think it's Belgian.
I don't remember. But anyway, my point is there none of them. There's very few. You get like Sam Adams of like the big breweries like Yingling in Pennsylvania, you know, like Dick Yingling in Pennsylvania, and you get like Jim Cook of Sam Adams.
Is there a reason Kamala Harris chose the Miller High Life? Is that an American?
I mean, I think I'm sure they ran it through some vetting process. I'm sure they ran it through some vetting process earlier. They're like, yes, it's technically owned by Molson Coors, technically, I guess, a Canadian company, but they're headquartered here so we can get away with calling it American. They vet all of this crap, especially if they checked with her team ahead of time. They knew that the optics of this, you know. Anyway, just pointed that out. Hey, we're going to go here in a second. I want to talk about our friend Jeremy Lofredo from the Gray Zone and some unbelievable news about his capture. He was just captured along with three other journalists in Israel. He was beaten and captured by IDF forces. I just want to mention that in a second here. But first, hey, if you are a homeowner and you're like me, you protect your home, but when's the last time that you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, you need to listen to this. It's unbelievable what can happen to the home's title. A new report on homeowners shows we now have $16 trillion in equity, which is an all-time high. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing, where the equity in all of our homes is the target. And by the way, I don't know if you saw the story today, that Americans have more equity in their homes than ever before. The number is astronomical, the trillions of dollars in equity that Americans have. So that's why this scam is increasing so rapidly, because you guys are sitting on so much equity in your home. Just let me know in the comments right now, how many of you have a lot of equity in your home right now? Sadly, if nobody is watching the title to your home, these scammers can then transfer your title to their name and then take out loans on your behalf. This is happening, guys, and your equity could be gone. So protect yourself from equity from this despicable crime right now with the triple lock protection from our friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code REDACTED, and they will send you a complete title scan of your home's title. And your first 30 days of Triple Lock Home Title Protection is free, so you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 30 days. Use our code and, you know, use our promo code and find out. It's fantastic. HomeTitleLock.com. Use our promo code REDACTED. Free for 30 days. First 30 days is free. HomeTitleLock.com. So thanks to them for supporting the show. I just want to say this. So it's very hard to find excellent journalists in the world, and there are very few I can count on, like, you know, a few hands, few fingers of the great journalists in the world. Wyatt Reed is one of them from the Gray Zone. And he tweeted last night or a few hours ago, he said it's been over 24 hours since the Gray Zone's Jeremy Lofredo was among four journalists that were beaten, blindfolded, and taken to an Israeli military base. The three other journalists were released. Jerry remains in Israeli custody. His phone has been seized. We'll have more to come on that. So praying for
Now, this comes just after one of the Gray Zone's own journalists pushed State Department spokesman Matthew Miller about supporting a genocide and said, "American, we're sick of this bullshit," is what he said. And then 4 days later, one day later, punished. So we're going to be following this story. Hopefully the State Department has something to say. I mean, they really didn't like Russia holding an American journalist. So Israel?
Yeah.
Bueller?
American journalists being held.
Bueller? Yeah.
Beaten by the Israeli forces.
Are we going to give him the Evan Gershwich treatment? Are we going to do that?
It would be nice to hear from the White House. Let's see if the White House has a statement about it like they did with Evan. So, again, we're tracking this story. And I see many of the people in the chat are also very aware of what's happening. The Gray Zone is a fantastic independent news organization that's not afraid of stirring up a hornet's nest and getting the truth out there. They were the ones to debunk the New York Times BS stories about the early parts of this war. So they've done an amazing job. Go ahead, David.
And what a smack in the face it'd be if they didn't say anything when they went to Russia over a basketball player, but they're not gonna say anything about a drone.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you guys for joining us here on this Wednesday. A lot of news that we got to today. We want to thank you once again for subscribing. We have a daily newsletter, which we'd love for you to subscribe to. If you just go to redacted.inc, we publish it daily, well, Monday through Thursday, and we try to keep you informed. It's totally free. I saw someone in the chat a few minutes ago saying that Gmail marks our newsletter as dangerous. Yes, they do mark us as dangerous because they don't like the truth. Anyway, sign up, redacted.inc. You'll receive a welcome email, and you will then have to click on confirm, and then you will receive that newsletter tomorrow. Again, redacted.inc.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for joining us today.